Welcome to Garden Society. We are a sisterhood of women exploring holistic ways to rejuvenate from the rigors of daily life. We are wives and moms, sisters and girlfriends, bill payers, breadwinners, multitaskers, and peacemakers.
We invite you to explore the possibility of elevating every day with our favorite plant. Grant yourself permission to chill out, smoke a joint, and get inspired to find your joy with us on Garden Society, the podcast.
This gathering of the Garden Society is now in session.
Good afternoon, morning, day, everyone, depending on when you're listening.
Good afternoon.
We are here, Garden Society, the podcast, with the wonderful Amanda Jones from Key Coco. Thank you so much for coming in today. It's great to have you.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
So today we are talking about the grass and glass ceiling. So wonderful to have women in the room who are all trying to break down barriers, break that ceiling, crack it, and what's the word I'm looking for? Propel women.
Right, there you go.
To the top. There we go. So Amanda, thank you so much for being here today.
Oh, of course.
Amanda actually studied neurophysiology. Did I get that right?
Yes,
at
did.
University yep. of yep. Auckland in New Zealand. Mm-hmm. You noticed that lovely, beautiful accent of hers. So she did that before actually working in fashion. So she was at Vogue and Esprit de Corps, which I remember from childhood. That's yes. beautiful.
Shows how old I am.
Amanda was also a journalist with the LA Times, Condé Nast, Meredith Corp, among others, and most recently founded Key Coco with Jen, her co-founder. Key Coco is a cannabis-infused tea company. They make beautiful, beautiful cannabinoid-specific teas. I absolutely love them. They're
good.
So relaxing, and they go lovely with a little bit of our Garden Society chocolate.
Absolutely.
Just a tiny bit. You don't want to overdo it on either side. So Key Coco is really driven to helping women take charge of their wellness. And I love that. I think that's a beautiful message to send out to women, especially in this high stress time in our culture right now. So thank you for being here.
Oh, it's great to be here. It's wonderful.
So I would love to just start out by hearing your journey, kind of how you, I love to hear when we have guests that are in cannabis, sort of what brought you to cannabis? What was that spark that helped you found Key Coco and kind of how you and Jen work together?
Well, Jen and I have been friends for 25 plus years, again, showing my age, but we've been friends for many, many years, very good friends. And so we also had another friend with cancer, and she was very sick with cancer and was using cannabis to help her with her symptoms, like as one does, as people do with cancer, it helps a lot. But she, back in those days, which was 5 years ago, the deep, dark days of the cannabis world, she couldn't find anything that was titrated really low enough on THC for her, that she was just getting so baked and it was just, she was becoming dysfunctional. So she was talking one time, she was so baked, she couldn't even stand, she couldn't walk. She was on hands and knees going to the bathroom. And she rang up Jen actually, and she said, I have a great idea. Because Jan, it's confusing, but mm-hmm. Jan was the one with cancer, and she was a marketer. She was very clever and mm-hmm. had done a lot of branding and a lot of different products. And she said, I have a great idea. There is a real white space here for products for women, marketed for women, beautifully packaged. And back in those days, you'll remember those days when like, you know, a homemade brownie wrapped in a tie-dye packet with a big fat weed leaf on it. Mm-hmm. And she said, you know, people don't all want that lying around their house. Some people want something different and lower doses. So we said, okay. Well, and then Jen calls me up and says, well, what do you think of this idea? And I said, and Jen, my wonderful, fabulous, amazing business partner, Jen Chapin, is a serial entrepreneur, thank God, because I am not. And she was working on another startup. And I just said to her, and she's worked on a lot of startups, some of which have taken off, some of which did not. And there'd been a bit of a dry spell and a lot of ideas, and none of them had really come to fruition. But she was working on one. And I said, Jen, you got to do that one. That is a really, really good idea. Mm-hmm. Women need this. We need it. And particularly women of our age who were, at that point, we were kind of entering menopause. It was our late 40s, early 50s, and we were entering menopause. It was like we couldn't sleep and we were getting grumpy and bitchy. And we were really, so mood, sleep, sex was another issue. Mm-hmm. So we said, no, women need a product, but they needed a product that they could rely on, that yes. they knew wasn't going to knock them on their ass or make them ride the crazy train, as we call it in-house, because you don't want to be riding the crazy train. And we've all had that happen.
Especially with those brownies in the tie-dye
exactly.
package, where you don't know if the THC is in this corner or this corner.
Yeah, exactly. the Rice Krispie
was it?
Treat with the Fruity Pebbles.
Oh God. Yeah, you're like, no.
Oh, bad.
Yeah. And so we said, okay. And in fact, I was at Terrapin Crossroads yesterday, and that's where we founded our company in a sunny day, having a wine outside. And now I don't drink wine anymore because mm-hmm. I drink cocoa and other cannabis products. Anyway, that's how we got started. It was because of Jan, our friend. Unfortunately, cancer took Jan.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It was tragic, as all cancer is.
Beautiful dedication to her, really.
Yeah, it really is. It's all because of her.
That's incredible. I have chills. That's such a great story. Now, you and Jen, how did you guys meet early in your career? Or are you?
No, it's a funny story, actually. She never returned my phone call. We were introduced. We had friends, similar circles. And the one friend said to me, oh, you've got to meet this woman, because I'm a big women's rights activist.
Yes.
And Jen was working on a women's sports day event. And they said, oh, and I was working on another women's rights project, a book, actually. And she said, oh, you got to meet this fabulous woman, Jen Chapin. So I called up Jen Chapin, and Jen Chapin never returned my phone call. So then about 2 years later, we ended up being bridesmaids in the same wedding.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, is that funny?
And did you realize it? Were you like, oh, yeah.
I was like, you bitch, you never return my phone calls. Anyway, so we became just instant friends.
It's fun to sometimes have something funny to come together over and kind of have this moment of like, oh, remember when? That's really great.
Yeah.
Very cool. And then so you worked in fashion, which I think is fascinating in terms of this glass ceiling that we talk about. Mm-hmm. I don't know a lot about it, but just from, you know, stories I've heard or having, I worked in LA for a little while, and it tends to sort of be a similar, culture or feeling. I worked in the entertainment industry.
Right.
And so, not that kind of entertainment, but.
entertainment in LA.
I did live in Van Nuys for a while. But anyway, sorry, I digress. So I would just love to understand sort of, and being a women's rights activist, understand how you apply that to building your culture at Kikoko.
I had never really encountered the glass ceiling or even very much sexism, because I'd always worked in female-oriented industries. Fashion is pretty much female-dominated, mm-hmm. Not always run, but the worker bees are women. And then journalism, I was on my own. I was a travel writer, so I was out in the back of beyond for 25 years. So I never really encountered it until I came to Kikoko, until we started Kikoko. And I was shocked the first time we were going out for money, just what incredible assholes there are. And so then we sat down and we said, okay, we're gonna create 6 rules for our company. And rule number 1 is no assholes.
I love that.
We're too old.
Yes.
We've encountered too many assholes before. We simply don't need to put up with them anymore. We just don't, and we mm-hmm. won't. Mm-hmm. And so we actually have them on the wall of our office, all 6 of them. And we really do make ourselves live by them, because rule number 1, actually, people laugh. It is funny, but it's really not that funny, because after you've had a meeting, and you know what it's like when you're raising money, and you just feel ugh around some people, and we say, okay, I'm going to invoke rule number 1. I did not like that person.
Or even for your team, with having difficult conversations or interesting team dynamics, or as you're growing, you have new team members being added. I mean, we talk all the time, Carly and I, around how do we create a culture that's warm and inclusive and accountable and has the behavior that we want at the core of our company.
Exactly, exactly.
And so, I think that rule applies internally as much as externally, right?
Oh, without a doubt. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Sometimes it's just not a good fit.
Definitely.
But we are 80% women. And my husband calls us a sexist organization. I said,
so does mine.
You know what? So I'm fine. We've got thousands of years to make up for.
Definitely. You know, what's interesting that you said is something about like kind of trust, like that feeling that you get when you're in a room with someone that you just don't quite know what their intention is or where they're taking things or if they're taking you seriously. Mm-hmm. And I think as women in this movement to break the glass ceiling and the grass ceiling really is to trust those feelings that I think as a culture we've been taught to kind of push down and not listen to because it's too emotional.
Yep.
And I think now if we can really – I think part of this movement as women, and you can probably – say this better than I can with your background in feminism, but really like if we could listen to our bodies and our gut as women and then feel the confidence to really act on that instead of pressing it down or saying, oh no, I'm being too emotional, really embracing that and helping that give you strength and confidence to move forward.
Yeah, absolutely. That's such a good point because I do think we were raised, at least I was, each generation gets better. So, and you're all younger than I am, but that males were more right, that we could be right, but they were more right. And it took me a long time to realize, no, that's just that in itself is not right. So, yes, we do trust our guts. We really do. And we make ourselves accountable to that. And if we have a pact, Jen and I have a pact that if one of us has this uncomfortable feeling, we have to listen to the other person.
We had that with our investor we were talking to last year when we were doing our first round of fundraising. And the investor kept saying, oh, we didn't say that. We said this, and kept changing their word and kept changing the deal. And then kept coming to me and why I was being unreasonable and I was being emotional. And I was pretty steady Eddie the whole time. And we hadn't signed any paperwork yet. Carly and I talked a lot about it, and we have a great advisor, Kevin, who's a guy, and we talked to him about it, and we said no, and we said, you know what, this is supposed to be easy, and if it's this hard this soon, something's wrong. And so taking the risk to trust your gut and say no, not knowing what was in front of us, luckily, you know, a week later we found great investors, and we got our funding,
of course you did,
and like
right?
everything moved forward, but taking that risk to say, like, I'm not going to let you call me names and gaslight me to say that I'm the one doing something wrong when you're the one changing the conversation. Mm-hmm. And why is that my problem, right? And it was a big risk and a big decision, but like a testament to trusting your gut.
Yep.
Good. And now we're a lot better company because of it and have a great foundation with these good investors.
Yeah. And hopefully you taught that investor a lesson too.
Well, they now call us the one who got away.
Oh.
It's like the bad boyfriend in the closet, you know, that like still looks at your Facebook page.
But I think that's a good testament to like saying no without burning the bridge and keeping the door open, or like, you know, giving people, there is the opportunity to give people a second chance and help them understand like where they were wrong and where you have changed to maybe meet them better in terms of like business needs, but also draw a line in the sand in terms of how you're going to be treated.
Right. Well, that's part of breaking the glass ceiling too, is we have to teach people how we want to be treated.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. So as you guys are building your business, what do you kind of take from your background and work in feminism and apply that to how you're building your culture at Kikoko?
Everything. You know, it's so funny because I always say that this, who would have thought 6-7 years ago, if you'd have said I'd been a cannabis maven, I would have thought you were insane. But here I am.
Yes.
And a marijuana maven. Yes. But we brought everything we'd ever done in our careers to this. Everything. That's why I always say to younger people, go off and have those random life changes and those career changes.
Yeah.
Because it all is part of what the skill set that you're garnering, and that skill set will be much larger later on, which I feel like my neuroscience is coming in because of what we do. Obviously, I love the neuroscience of cannabis. Then the fashion, because I run the creative side with Julia, our design officer.
You can tell. It's beautiful.
Thank you. But you can also probably tell that there's a quirky take on fashion. Mm-hmm. We do all our own shoots. We own photos. We use real people for models, but it's definitely got a fashion bent to it. We use fashion photographers. We go big on that kind of, mm-hmm. that's just who we are, but we make it quirkier than just straight up fashion. So there's that, definitely. And then as far as the women's rights and the feminism, 100%. I mean, we gone out of our way to make it a culture where women are equal, and in fact, gone a little overboard on that regard. But obviously we're a women's company, so women are attracted to work
definitely.
For us. We don't have any issues with that. Diversity, we just get the most amazingly diverse people wanting to come to work for us. So we feel very lucky and they feel safe. And we have a lot of diversity in genders mm-hmm. and in races and backgrounds. And the one thing that we get is it's so nice to be in a place where I can see myself and other people.
That is really neat. I love that. And what you're saying is just resonating with me, because having come from a corporate background where it felt like everyone that was coming in and churning, it was like the same people mm-hmm. over and over mm-hmm. again. And there weren't a lot, like, it was kind of wild. Like the marketing team, it was like all people the same age. They all were in the same stage of growth in their life. They all had similar backgrounds. And it was, and then they were coming in, and I saw it over time because I was on the PR side, and it was like the same ideas over and over again. And regardless of whatever the wine brand was, it was like,
it was a cycle.
It was, yeah, they were like, everyone was starting to target the same demographic because it was their demographic.
Right.
And it felt a little like, okay, where are we going? What is this building? And so I love that you have not just gender diversity, but diversity in terms of perspectives and backgrounds mm-hmm. and experiences mm-hmm. that people have had, and how you can apply that to build a healthy business and one that's authentic and resonates with people. I think that's something about Kikoko that, as I'm out in the field and seeing people really resonate with it because it's relatable. It's aspirational, but it's also relatable.
Yeah.
So
thank you. That's yeah. we say we're for anybody 21 to 101.
And I love
we
that.
Literally have had, I don't know if you saw, I'm very proud of this, but I don't know if you saw our Mother's Day campaign.
I did. Yes.
That was my mother-in-law.
Oh,
yeah, my 90-year-old conservative
beautiful.
Mother-in-law. Wasn't
oh my
that great?
Gosh, yes.
Oh, yeah, I was so proud of her.
They had a photo of, now I know.
My 90-year-old mother-in-law in a bathing suit and a fur coat.
Yes, you can find it on their Instagram.
Heels.
What's
yeah.
your Instagram handle?
Kikoko_HQ.
Okay, great. And we'll put that in the show notes too, because I thought that was a really powerful statement.
Yeah.
It was really beautiful. So as we're talking about breaking this glass ceiling, we'll kind of come back to that. How do you talk about that with your team as you're onboarding them and as you're building this culture of strong women, leaders in cannabis? I guess kind of like, what do you do in terms of like building that culture?
Well, I think it builds itself mm-hmm. in a large part. If you choose the right people, the culture exists. Mm-hmm. As far as building the culture, we try to be very flexible, because I know what it's like to be a working mother. I've always been a working mother. So I know what a joyful thing it is when you have flexibility, when you can, no one's going to be like, oh, if you've got a sick kid mm-hmm. or if you want to work from home or you have to go to the doctor or you, we are very flexible in that regard. I'm sure you are too. Mm-hmm.
We have to be.
Right?
Well, it's part of the core. When we were both working corporate, I traveled full time. And so I couldn't stay pregnant, let alone like have a baby and
right.
go through that. And Carly chose to quit her job versus commuting with a newborn. And so it's really core to our company is that flexibility mm-hmm. and that ability to say, hey, this shouldn't be either or.
Yep, exactly.
It's how do you integrate them?
Yep. It's as long as you get your work done, we don't care where or when
yep.
you do it.
Well, and that's so I was just going to say something that I think creativity or flexibility fosters is actually efficiency. So
yep.
people are more efficient and
yep.
willing to work harder because
yep.
you're giving.
Yep.
So
yep.
you're
yep.
allowing them to have a little more freedom, to have a little more flexibility, to live the life that they want while still holding a, you know, full-time building their career.
Yep.
And I think that's part of this shift to a more I'll say we were talking about feminine energy. So I don't mean this in a gender role, but like a more feminine workplace where there's that flexibility. And then in turn, you get a lot more out of your employees because they're happy.
Well, it's my husband took a photo of me in the bath recently. And I said, I sent it to my team and I said, this is how we do business the women's way. And I was in the bath with a face mask on, in a bubble bath with my computer, right?
That's fantastic. That's so good.
You're bold.
Yeah, I love that.
My son would knock that computer
in. Oh, no, I have. Jen gave me a tray. You can get one of these trays.
Oh, nice.
That is so cool. Oh,
so
my
I can
gosh.
Work in the bath.
I'm going to take a note from that.
Yeah. Right? I love it.
After I remove all the cars out of my bathtub from my daughter.
Well, we talk a lot about, as we're building, so we're hiring more people and we're continuing to up-level our team, is we're having to spend a lot of energy around expected behavior. And even though we offer flexibility, what does that mean? And so you're right in the quality of the people. Some of them are shocked and, you know, work harder and value that. But then we also are having to make some tough decisions because we're realizing that certain personalities are causing conflict. And
right.
Aren't, they're not actually driving the culture we want. There's this accountability issue or whatever it is. And so it's something we talk about all the time is how do we create intentionally this culture and the accountability, but also the freedom that we all want. And I think the hard problem, probably like you and Jen, Carly and I are workaholics and like we work harder than anyone else on the team, not to discredit anyone else, but like
it's your company.
Right.
Right. Yeah. And so how do we make sure we have realistic, like Carly checks me all the time. Are you being realistic to what, you know, employee X can handle or is good? I'm like, oh, it's fine. It's fine. Keep shoveling.
But it's balanced between the two of us. So maybe you could talk a little bit about, I think something that women can really, whether they're starting a business or either whether it's a full-time business or a stay-at-home mom wants to start a part-time business, I think something that women can really find solace in doing that is finding a partner.
Oh my God, yes. Because, finding the right partner.
Right, finding the right partner. So I would love, we actually, so we hosted a number of cannabis entrepreneurs at a mainstream entrepreneur event called Circular Summit a few weeks ago. We've talked about it a couple of times, but one of the questions was like, one woman asked, how do you maintain your full-time job, but also build your business at the same time? You know, they were in a position where they couldn't do, they had to do both.
Oh, wow.
So when Aaron and I started, I couldn't come on full-time. Like I had to start part-time because I said, you know, I'm really focused on being a mom right now. Luckily, this was something that I love and it quickly propelled to doing a lot more than
Carly's
just
like,
that.
I will only work 2 days a week. I'm thinking in the back of my head, okay, I either got to get her really quickly over this or I'm screwed.
But I really wanted to be honest and, you know, true to what I wanted. So I would love to just, long-winded way of saying, I'd love to hear a little bit more about how you and Jen balance yourselves or balance each other as partners.
Yeah, we get asked this a lot, like, because it can go horribly wrong.
It can.
it really can. Amongst certain friends that become business partners and then they're no longer friends. I would say it's just brought us closer together. The key thing for us is respect, communication, but probably the best thing is that our skill sets are so different. And that so I run one side of the company and she runs the other. So I run the creative side and the new product development side and she runs pretty much everything else. I mean, obviously, we have a great team. So it sounds like we're doing way more than we are. We have fabulous women and men just doing these things for us. But she oversees one part and I oversee what I'm good at. So the beauty of where I am in my life right now, and we're in this up-leveling. We're using the term up-leveling. Yeah, I think you're at the same stage. Up-leveling. Where we just want to get out of the weeds and do what we're best at doing for the company.
Oh my
because
gosh, yes.
When we're,
we talked about it this
right,
morning.
Right? Yep. It's so important to get – and you can't do that for the first several years. You can't. No. You just can't do it because you just have to do everything and get involved in everything. But now we're at the point of, okay, we've got people that really know what they're doing and we can – we can delegate. And it's hard, that transition of delegation where you say, I'm going to let go. I'm going to let go of the reins and somebody else is going to pick them up can be difficult. But once you've done it, it's like, woohoo, it's fantastic.
Definitely.
So that's where we are and we're up-leveling to be where we feel our skills can best contribute to the success of the company.
I think that's so smart. We're feeling that so strongly because we are really, I mean, in addition to just a startup, as you guys know, the cannabis industry is just this whole other beast with regulation and breaking down stigmas and just building an industry from the ground up, really.
Why did we do this?
I know, right?
Good thing we can get high.
As we're smoking our vape pens and joints and drinking our tea. Part of our podcast is really giving women real day-to-day tools or advice that they can use as they're going about their day. So as we're talking about breaking this grass ceiling or glass ceiling, however we want to talk about it, in maybe some of those investor meetings, what have you learned in talking to a room full of men about how, as a woman, you can harness that power and that sort of emotional power that we have to either change minds or make them, you know, kind of get to where you wanted while still having to like work with that kind of, you know, man woman sort of dance that we have
the
to
traditional
do. Not
construct.
To get too right, not to get too like gendered, but yeah.
Well, it I wish I had a silver bullet, but I don't. All I can say is start with the stories, get them down to be very pithy, but start with the story, because anyone in the room, even the most hardened asshole, will respond to a personal story. And they probably, their mother that can't sleep or their sister can't, you know, has depression or so there's always something that they can relate to. So starting with the story and then listening a lot and then just coming in hard with the facts that you really do have to establish yourself as being an authority of your own company, because there is a still a staggering amount of mansplaining that happens.
Oh my gosh, staggering.
Staggering,
it's
right?
Amazing.
Right?
It's amazing. I got mansplained about menopause.
Oh, no, you did not. Oh God, that's
I actually
gotta hear
at
that
one point,
story later.
Mansplaining.
Did you good? Yeah,
some
right? Yeah.
No offense,
yeah.
I got this.
Yeah, and we have that on the wall of our office before they come into the conference room. Yeah, some of them can't read, but that was staggering to me when I first got into it, was just the patriarchy still very much in existence, but in covered up with this business parlance. Mm-hmm. So we can tell very quickly if there's as much listening going on their side of the room, and as much question asking, we really do look at the questions they ask. Are they insightful? Are they stupid? Could they have gotten the answer off our website? Because that happens a lot too. They haven't done their homework. This shouldn't be a man bashing session.
No,
you know,
no.
We love men. I'm married
Definitely,
to one
yes.
who's wonderful, and you're married to one who's wonderful. You're married to
yes.
one. So there's some really fabulous men out there, and we have some of them invested in Kikoko, and you do Garden Society.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
We just had an article in Entrepreneur, and it was how women can unite. And it was exactly that, where, you know, in the cannabis industry, I think it's really interesting because there's this stigma and stereotype around the likes of Ignite and Dan Bilzerian, and we see the naked ladies and we see the sushi episodes of, right? And so there's this counterculture of, you know, anti-feminism. But then I really believe through all my corporate experience, and probably both of you would as well, in my personal journey, that men can be our best champions by far, because they break those barriers and they basically will pull us through that glass ceiling.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, there's just not enough women up there to do it.
Yeah.
So we have to do it ourselves with the support of the men around us to really drive that future that we want. And I think they can be super difficult, and especially ones who mansplain and are condescending, but they can also be amazing supporters of us and propel us. I mean, that is the reason I had my big corporate job, is I had a boss who gave me opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. And it's the same thing with our investors, is we have men, we can't find a woman to be on our cap table for the life of us.
Oh, we've got lots of women investors.
Oh, well, we're struggling.
Our first two investors were women.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Congratulations. I mean, that's like a data point
for
sure.
Yeah, it is. And I would put an appeal out there to all women investors, because there's just not enough activity going. And in this industry, we hear them all talk about it. Yeah. And then they don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very disappointing.
Well, that was going to be the next thing that I brought up, is because I don't want to genderize this conversation too much. I think a lot of the weight sits on women lifting each other up and supporting each other and doing things like sharing information, supporting each other. You guys have been such good advocates of us, and we appreciate that so much, and we hope that we can return that to you. So I guess maybe you could share with us a little bit about an instance in which you've seen kind of women like working against each other, and how we can kind of shift that to work together and to really lift each other up without, you know, giving away the family secrets, I'll say.
We all have businesses to run.
Right, right.
Like Carly said, like, you guys have been wonderful to us, and we hope to do the same for you. And so how can there be more
of
that?
Oh, you already have. You already have.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, you really have.
Well, it's about authentically supporting each other.
Exactly.
Shit's hard enough.
And there's plenty of space for all of us.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And we can just all boats rise.
Yes.
So, gosh, without naming names, I just have, we've felt like we've been jerked around by some well-known female investors in the cannabis space who make you jump through all these hoops, and then they just go radio silent. And they don't even get far enough that you think they've made a well-informed decision. Mm-hmm. So, but look, this is what it's like in venture capital. Mm-hmm. Some tiny amount. It's under 10%. I think it's less than 8%.
It's under
2%.
It's a little more than that.
I think it's 2.7%. I think I heard they were having this fascinating conversation on NPR the other morning on my way to Circular Summit.
Oh, really?
And I think, it's gone, or maybe it's under either 3% or 4%. Anyways, long
story
short.
Yeah, I think
it's grown a little bit.
I've heard a bunch of.
Yeah.
But that's inexcusable.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That is just wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Because basically that says we don't have faith that women are capable of running businesses. And I will tell you right now, damn it, we are.
Mm-hmm.
We are. And we're running very good businesses. And very tight ships, and great creative, and high quality products, and we don't splash money around like some of the other cannabis companies.
Sushi bars and billboards.
Yeah, exactly.
I was sitting on a panel at a conference called Trailblazers in Utah, and a CMO of a very well known brand in California said, "Oh, well, we only put products on our shelves that make sense. We're not in this for charity." And I was the next panel, and I got up, and we got to give like a closing remark, all the panelists. And so my closing remark was, women are a damn good investment, and we make money. We're not a charity.
Yeah.
And we're not your philanthropic dollars.
It's absolutely
true. You give those to mental health to veterans.
Exactly.
That's we return profits.
Exactly. Good for you.
And so it's like calling that to the table, right? And this perception of females, and not to genderize it, but in this conversation, it does have to be genderized to a degree.
We have to genderize it.
Because it is so, like, for some reason with women, they think it's this, oh, my philanthropic arm. And it's like, wait, no, look at our profit margin, or look at the business we're building, or look at our brand impressions.
Well, I have deep respect for the male investors that are truly believing that diversity in all forms makes a better company, and diversity in their portfolio is going to bring return. And it's true, right? They did this, they've got the research to prove it. The venture capital dollars just aren't following. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. I think, we've all seen that male money pouring in the same investments. And it doesn't make any sense to me, but who am I?
What have you gone through with the larger cannabis companies? So in the cannabis industry, this really interesting mashup of the OGs, so the old school people. And now at this point, all of us are considered OGs
sort of.
Because we're 3 years old.
Yeah.
But then there's this new capital coming in, and the new multi-state operators, and the companies that go public, and the Canadian Stock Exchange, and all this new corporate money flowing.
Mm-hmm.
So what have you experienced between the old industry and the new industry when you talk about breaking the grass ceiling?
Oh, well, I mean, the statistics, when we first got, we've been around 4.5 years. We founded the company 4.5 years ago. So we really are one of the OGs, but I don't think we are. I mean, I view Steve D'Angelo and that crowd to be the real OGs.
For sure.
But because they made it all possible for the rest of us. But it's changed so much. So I mean, when we first started, we couldn't get a good lawyer. No, we just couldn't. We couldn't get a good lawyer. We couldn't bank. I mean, you know, there are ways around that now. And I would say that people 4 years ago, well, it's Sorry, I lost my train of thought.
That's okay.
What was I going to say? What was
no, but just it was probably so much more less accepted.
Oh, yes. It was completely less accepted. Yeah. The stigma was so high. We couldn't really even tell people. I couldn't tell the mothers at my kids' school what I was doing until mm-hmm. I decided, oh, damn it, I'm going to tell them. But yeah, but that has changed. The money has come in now. I mean, the giant funds are coming mm-hmm. in, the giant funds. And women, we were 36%. Remember back in the day, mm-hmm. 3 years ago, I think, we were 36% of the cannabis industry. Now we're down to 25.
Yeah.
So that's a bad, sad trend, and it's because of that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think it's interesting, as much as we're talking about not genderizing this conversation, I think that there's too much going on just in general in the world and in our country that it has to be said, and we have to, you know, rise up and support each other as women. Yeah. I was having a conversation with our social media gal the other day, and we were talking about how for years and years and years, it's been men supporting men because that's just been the culture and that's how it is. And so, of course, it's ingrained in them to kind of have this community with each other. And I think that, you know, that's like something that has just been for so long. And so if we as women can band together, and it's not being exclusive, but it's supporting each other as a community mm-hmm. to lift each other up, and of course have our cheerleaders from all genders, ages, races, whatnot, but, you know, really banding together as women to rise up and let our voices be heard.
Yep, absolutely.
And it's not said and done, and it is not, I mean, there's still so much work to do. So,
I think it's also calling out the bad actors, because there's mm-hmm. women in our industry who don't support other women. I'm sure you've experienced this. We've definitely experienced this, whether it's a competitor, which is crazy because there's so much market room for everyone that none of us are really competitors at the end of the day. We're competitors with all these out-of-state brands trying to come in. And I'm just exhausted by people who can't support people authentically, because why is your insecurity tearing down other people?
Well, that's true. Right? There's this, it's a greed mentality. And that's mm-hmm. what's gotten the entire world into so much trouble is mm-hmm. this greed mentality.
Mm-hmm. What kind of saves me, I told Aaron this, I go in the wine aisle.
Right.
And I stand there and I look at all of the brands on the shelf.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all of the, I've granted some of them won't be on the shelf for long and it'll come in and out.
Yeah.
But I'm like, these are all bottles of wine. Sure, there's different varietals and vintages and price points, but like there are hundreds and hundreds thousands of different brands of wine.
Yep.
So if we can't, as a cannabis industry, help all of the strong brands that are really trying to do the right thing and have a strong product work together to lift each other up, I mean, that's just what we've got to do.
It's true, I think. Absolutely. Worldwide, we need to do that.
Definitely.
And it's a good cause.
It is.
Well, I love our conversation. I don't mean to cut us short.
No, that's okay.
Joe over here wants us to talk about our spark of joy.
Yes. So I did think of, I was trying to think earlier, I had a spark of joy yesterday and I remembered what it was. So I feel like we talk about Ophelia on this podcast a lot. We need to have her on here.
Hey, girl. Hey.
So Ophelia made a post on Facebook yesterday and it was about Operation Evac. So this gentleman, Ryan, runs this charity and it's all about cannabis for veterans.
Mm-hmm.
And so I will put all of the information for donation in our show notes. But it was Memorial Day yesterday. And I think in honor of that, we shared Ophelia's post about supporting Operation Evac. Unfortunately, with the regulations, it's become really difficult for him to get medicine to his patients. So again, we'll put that in the show notes. And that was my spark of joy, was that realization of like, oh yeah, there are things that we can do that are tangible that are going to make a difference. Support
and
Ryan.
And if anybody has leftover Hall of Flower samples or any of those weird event samples, Emerald Cup, High Times Cup.
We have stuff. We have things.
Oh yeah. So they would love all those kind of products.
Okay.
We can connect you with Ryan directly.
We absolutely have to do this because we just talked about this yesterday, actually. Somebody's got a whole crop that they can't sell.
Oh, see, that's like exactly
They're a winery. They just decided, we want to grow some cannabis, see where it goes, but they don't have a license. So
now they're dead on arrival.
And they don't want to sell it.
So this is exactly,
I know where you can donate that, but this This sounds perfect.
It's awesome. So we'll put that in the show notes.
Great.
We are smoking a lovely little headband, some sativa to brighten our day.
I can't smoke indica in podcasts because I forget to talk. I just sit here and get so engrossed by the conversation that I'm like.
Meanwhile, I'm over here and you can't shut me up.
I'm more like you. Yeah. I get chatty.
They're like, oh, are you high? You haven't shut up for the last 10 minutes.
Okay, my spark
Your
of joy.
Spark of joy, yes.
Anybody want some more?
I'm good.
I'm good, actually.
Yeah. My perfect. Spark of joy is my co-founder, Carly.
Aww,
so
I love you.
I don't know if anyone out there knows, but I had ear surgery a week and a half ago. And between vacation and ear surgery, I've kind of been down and out and busy. And so today, this morning on the way here, we had a powwow and just realigned. And I just am so grateful for you. And coming into today, being energized when I spent the last, like, the worst part about not hearing is you're just literally in your head echoing.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
So like every bad anxiety crevice of your brain comes to the fruition because you can't talk, you can't hear. So you're like...
Yeah, that sounds horrible.
The monkey mind.
Oh, it was so bad. But so thank you for all you do for us.
Oh,
and
you're
for
so
me.
Sweet.
And
thank
I'm
you.
So excited to be back.
Yes, me too. I'm excited for you. Amanda, do you have anything that sparked joy for you recently?
Oh, well, I have to. Well, obviously, now I feel like I should say that. Shout out to my business
yes.
partner, Jen, who's actually with her sick mother right now.
Oh,
and
God
she's,
bless her, yeah.
Dialing for dollars. She's we're raising money.
Yes.
So bless her. She's just incredible. I, again, lifelong friend and business partner. But I have to also add that having both my daughters in the house again right now. One just came back from college.
Oh, cool.
And that's just the spark in any mother's heart, right?
Definitely. That I was thinking of that thing. Earlier when you told me they went to school in Scotland. I was like, I have a 3-year-old and I think about like sending her off to college. And I know by then I'll probably be a little bit ready
yes.
for it.
Oh, yeah.
But maybe not like across an ocean.
Yeah, it's their launch.
Yeah.
But it's
oh,
fun to have
so
a cup
great.
Of Kikoko and with my adult kid.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh,
really
I can't
good.
I mean, cool. really I can cool. wait for that day, but I also can't wait
yeah,
for that day. So.
It's they're wonderful.
Is there anything that's shocking to you with them being home? Like anything where you're like, whoa, I was not ready for that?
No, but the boyfriend's coming to stay.
Oh.
Yeah, for a week.
Oh, my goodness.
And get this. We have this thing in our family called FFF, which is forced family fun. So we're doing,
love
he's
that.
Coming. And we're actually, I said to my daughter, guess what we're doing? We're going on a road trip. We're taking him on a road trip.
In a car.
In a car. For a week, the
Rita
boyfriend
has to talk to us. No escaping.
Exactly.
I think we need to have a follow up podcast to hear about the road trip.
I want to hear how this goes.
Oh, yeah.
You're definitely adopting FFF.
Yes, me too.
It should
that
be,
is
it should good be a
one.
Company force family fun within the company.
Yeah, yes, I'm doing exactly. that with my husband.
Yeah, there you go. Yep.
Amanda, this has been really fun.
It's been fun for me too. Thank
you
for having
so
me.
Much.
Yes, thank you so much.
I cannot wait for all that Kikoko and Garden Society have to take on in the world.
Exactly. We are going to do it.
Onward and upward.
Yep. Let us know what you want us to include in the show notes, if there's any cool events coming up or promotions or anything you want to do.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
We'll put it in our show notes.
Definitely. Great. And then just one more time, let all of our listeners know how we can find Kikoko.
Oh, kikoko.com. And we did just launch our honey shot, so you got to try our honey.
Yes.
It's really beautiful.
It's delicious. I've had it.
So
it's
good.
So good.
So, so good.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
All right, well,
and
I'm going
to
go eat some edibles and drink some tea.
What's up next, Carly?
So we have our final episode. This is so sad. but so we have our final episode of the season. We have a beautifully special guest for that episode. And then we're going to take a little break and be back in the fall. But we have loved sharing all of these stories with you, our listeners. We hope that you'll send us some feedback and things that you want to hear. And we'll give you some more information on that next episode. Till then, cheers.
Bye.
Bye.
Be sure to check the podcast show notes at thegardensociety.com for a deeper dive into each episode. Engage with Carly and Aaron via social at GRDNSociety. If you like what you hear, help spread the joy. Subscribe, rate, and review Garden Society the podcast on iTunes or Apple Podcasts. Garden Society the Podcast is produced by Joanna Newding and recorded in the Casually Baked Studio in downtown Oakland, California. Sound engineering is performed by Arnav Gupta.